Will you turn with me to the book of the first of Samuel? This is where I intended to read last evening, and yet the Lord would have his way, and I'm pleased to be able to discern it. But this morning I wondered, well, what was similar? Where were the similarities between what I was talking about last night and what we'll be talking about tonight? And I hadn't noticed. But will you please notice that we have a list of generations here in the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, taking us back to a family, and a family that had become the testimony for God, a family that was walking in the ways of God, a family that was pleasing God when the nation outside wasn't. And I thought, well, that's just like Jairus's daughter. And then you'll notice this, that there comes trouble in the house, and then there's trouble in the tabernacle, and then there's trouble in the battlefield. And the extent of the trouble is such that a woman gives birth to a child and calls his name Ichabod. The glory of the Lord is departed. And I thought, well, there's the widow of Nain's son being carried out. And yet it pleased God to raise a man to take the responsibility. Young man, stand up. And that young man, Samuel, he takes the responsibility of maintaining the testimony until he's sent to a man after God's own heart that should do all his will. A man that had to meet the failure of the first king. A man that had to meet the demands of the altar. A man that had to answer to all the restlessness of the prophets. And so you get the king and the priest and the prophet. The prophet, the priest, and the king. And there in 1 Samuel 16, God says to Samuel, this is he, arise, anoint him. And then we go on to Solomon. And David says, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet. And Solomon is to be crowned king in Gion. And we've got the prophet and the priest and the king again, and anointed with Jehovah's permission and pleasure. And then we take that right over to first chapter of the epistle to the Hebrews. God hath anointed him with the oil of gladness above his companions. And his companions were all the prophets and the priests and the kings that were before him. And he's anointed above them all, because he's an everlasting king. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. He's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And he's God's last word in prophecy. There'll never come another priest. There'll never come another prophet. There'll never come another king. The Lord Jesus has been anointed with the oil of gladness above them all. And I thought, surely that's Lazarus raised from the dead, bringing the consummation to the work. So there you are. I didn't notice that till this morning. So there's still a lot to learn, isn't there now? We're only like that woman. We're only touching the hem of the garment yet, aren't we? My, it's going to be glorious to see him face to face. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Jehu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city, yielded to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, that is Elkanah, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that is Hannah, so she provoked her, that is Peninnah, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunken. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Verse 24, And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks, and 1 ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And God will bless to us his own precious word. Brethren, just to have a look at the background, we'll have to go back into the book of Judges, because that's where Samuel is. He's the last of the judges. As W.W. Faraday, I think it is, he called him God's emergency man. The man that laid hold upon the period of the judges and the beginning of the kings. God's emergency man, and a tremendous man. He's the only man in the whole of the scriptures where it says he served the Lord all the days of his life. He's of such a character that the place of his birth was too high for Saul the son of Kish to reach. He never went there. King David only went there once. And when Samuel died, it says they shut up the house at Ramah. There wasn't a man to take his place. Brother, sister, men like that are missed. And they always will be missed. Now, when you go back into the book of Judges, we'll remember this, that the children of Israel were in subjection to the Philistines for 40 years. But when we come to Samson, it says he began to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines, and he judged Israel for 20 years. The work that Samson begun is the work that Samuel finished. And it says concerning the Philistine came no more up into the land of Israel so long as Samuel lived. And so that's how near we are getting to these judges of the book of Judges. Now, if you take that genealogy back again, Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite, take them back, and in a way you come to, brother, you come to another Ephrathite, but his name is Elimelech. Now, will you please notice the difference? That when the beginner of a family, Zoph the Ephrathite, is setting up his house and setting up his house in the fear of God, there's another man that's taking his house away from Bethlehem, Judah, the Ephrathite, and he's taking them down to Moab. So will you follow, brother and sister, by contrast? The history that we have given to us concerning Elimelech and the history concerning Elkanah, and we'll reach the conclusion that it's much better to serve the Lord than to go down into Egypt. And that man, he only intended to sojourn there. That man took two children, and I'm not surprised that the names mean sickly and pining. You couldn't expect healthy children from a man with a conviction like that. Brother, Elimelech means God is my king. And that man is turning his allegiance from God, and he's going down to the desirable plains of Moab. His children have got to be sickly and pining. And if they're sickly and pining, then I'm not surprised that they make an unscriptural and an unequal yoke, and they take two women of the country of Moab to be their wives. Will you notice that, brethren? But when we come to this man Zoph the Ephrathite is going on, and is going on generation by generation, until they've reached the heights of Ramathaim Zophim. And that's the only time you find its full name. Every other time it's Ramah. But God wants to show us where they'd really reached. Ramathaim Zophim. Ramathaim, of course, is in the plural, isn't it? Actually the dual. It means the double heights, the twin heights. And Zophim means the watchers. And that's where the genealogy of this man Zoph had reached in the days of Elkanah. My, what a spiritual height. Brother, there was barrenness as far as Elimelech was concerned, and he went to Moab. There was barrenness as far as Elkanah was concerned, and he went to Peninnah. What a shame. What a shame. Do you know, brother, we're just told the condition of Hannah. She had no children. And then we're told the reason of that condition. For the Lord had shut up her womb. and then were shown the result of that condition, she was sorely grieved, bitter in her soul, and she wept before the Lord. My, there's a lovely condition. Now, brother and sister, we'll talk about Hannah a bit later on. But now, here we have twin heights, brother and sister. And I'm going to say this. If ever a man or a woman is going to be spiritual, it'll be twin heights. It won't be one. Now, I'm not being nasty, brother. I've seen a couple of books, and I've got as many as what you've got. So if I criticize you, I criticize myself. Now, brother and sister, I'm saying this. You can read all the books that John Ritchie sells. You can read all the books that you can get over from America. And you can fill this as full that you can't put another thing in it. But I tell you this, it won't do you any good. It'll condemn you. Condemn you. Will you remember that? The Lord Jesus says, better not to have known than to know and to do it not. Now, my brethren, there ought to be twin heights, that as our knowledge increases, so our experience increases. So that knowledge and practice are running hand in hand together, and we are living on spiritual heights, brother and sister. Oh, I know, we have a lot of brethren, my, they're as good as the Benjamites. They can split a hair, can't they? Eh? I'm not interested in that. I'm ready to learn from anybody. But I want my experience to run parallel with that that God shows me. Isn't that the meaning of the word that John gives us in the first epistle? He shall guide you into all truth. Is that right? Now, brother and sister, it means this. He's not walking in front of you and you just following, and he's showing you everything there is from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. He opens the door and he shows you a truth, and he says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And my brother and sister, if we were just dependent upon this book and dependent upon the Spirit of God to reveal the truth of this book, then our spiritual experience would be running parallel with our knowledge. Now here they are, brother and sister. Oh, I reckon you could go to Elkanah and you could ask him a lot of questions, you could that. But brother and sister, you couldn't say to Elkanah, practice what you preach. He was a man of experience as well as a man of knowledge. Now, young brethren, some of us are getting old, and it's a lot harder to bend a tree when it's an old tree, isn't it? But it's a lot easier to bend it when it's a young one. Learn the book. Read the book on your knees, will you? While God's talking to you from the book, you talk to God while you read it. Ask God to open your eyes and then give you that ability by His Spirit to do what He's shown you out of the book. That's the way to grow, brethren. That's the way to grow. In the Acts of the Apostles, my, the Sanhedrin and all their fellow companions there in chapter 4, it doesn't say, my, where does Peter get all his knowledge from? He's only just an ordinary individual. He's just a fisherman. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It was that that made the difference, brother. That will always make the difference wherever we go. I'm going to tell you something. And perhaps you think I'm patting myself on the back, but don't. Don't take that, please. But it's an illustration. I owe this man quite a lot that I'm talking about. And he was a departmental manager in Vandenberg and Jurgens, the stalk margarine people. And I worked under him. And I was with the crowd of men. And this is what they said. We wouldn't take a word of what he's got to say, because he doesn't live up to what he says. We listen to you. My brother and sister, is it right in your own locality? Is it? Do they know what you are? Or is it that they just know what you know? Oh, no, no, no. It's Ramathaim. They're the twin heights. As knowledge increased, so their experience increased. Because all scripture is God-breathed, profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might reach maturity, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. That's what it's for, brother and sister, not to argue about. But it's that the child of God might grow from his milk to his bread to his strong meat to them that are exercised, as to be able to discern between good and evil. And so this is my first lesson from the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, brother and sister. And it is time, in the famine that's about us, in the famine that's about us, it's time, as we learn from the Spirit of God, the truth of the Word of God, that we were practicing what he teaches us day by day. I don't know whether I ever told you the story, but I'll never forget it, and I'll never forget the sight. Do you know, when I first went over to Norfolk, I didn't know many people. And I'd finished a meeting out there in a village, and a farmer said to me, "Will you come back to supper?" I said, "Be delighted." He was 79, his wife was 83. And after supper he said, "I'd like you to meet my daughter." Mark you, he knew I was married, so he hadn't got anything like that in view. I didn't even know he had a daughter. I knew he got four sons, and the four sons were great hefty fellows, and they were bigger than me. I said, "Yes, I'd like to meet your daughter." And he took me out of the house and across the farmyard and to another little place. And he opened the door, and it was very sparsely appointed, hardly a thing in it. And there across from the door, there was a cot. And I thought, him 79. And his wife 83. And a cot. And I went over to that cot. And I looked in, and there she was. She was about so big, with a head about as big as her body. And I looked at him, and the tears just run down his cheeks. The joy of his heart, after four hefty sons, a daughter. And that daughter became the greatest grief that ever that man knew. He said, "She's 35 years old." Hey? Brother, how long have you been saved? Sister, how long? Are we just babes in Christ? Or are we growing up, little children, young men, fathers? Isn't that how John refers to them? Let it be so, brother, with you. No, I'm not criticizing. I know that when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself. And we all need this exhortation, don't we, in these days in which we live, that as we read God's word by His Spirit, and the Spirit reveals the truth, then let's walk according to the truth that He reveals, because it's going to bring us to spiritual maturity. Now, will you notice something else about this home? There was love there, brother. Now Elkanah loved Hannah. Abia said, there's another wife. Aye, that's right. We'll have to come to her a bit later on. It doesn't say that he loved Peninnah now. No. Peninnah was brought in for a purpose, not because he loved her. And it is this, the name of the one. The name when there was one, that's the force of the word, was Hannah. And the name of the second was Peninnah. My, must have been a lovely home, mustn't it? I reckon there wasn't a discordant note, was there now? Now, a lot of us are married here, aren't we? Eh? No, I'm not going to butt into your married life. Got enough troubles of my own. But, brother and sister, I know couples that have been married years and they can still be at each other's throat as though they only knew them each other yesterday. There's no willingness to give and to yield. There's no willingness to show affection one to the other and give place. There's no readiness to acknowledge the mighty miracle of God in marriage. They too shall be one flesh. Isn't it a shame? Isn't it a shame? And it says Elkanah loved Hannah. That's lovely, isn't it? My, I can almost see him every time he passes, he put his arm round the shoulders. I'll get a bit sentimental, brother. A bit sentimental. When did you tell your wife last that you loved her? You take her for granted, don't you? You try it sometime. You might get more out of her. But brother, here is the very basis of love. The very basis of fellowship, the one with the other. That ought to be the basis of an assembly, brother and sister. Shouldn't it now? How are you, brother? I hope you're fine. You know, so-and-so did, eh? You know what I mean, don't you, eh? We're a lot of hypocrites sometimes, aren't we? By this shall all men know that ye my disciples, if ye have love one to another. I'm going to tell you this. There are a number of things that I disagree with my brethren about. But I'm going to tell you, I love them all. And that's before they changed. And this is, well, we're going to be changed, isn't it? My brother and sister, don't be that rough piece of grit in the assembly, will you? Don't be that acid that hurts and smarts and burns, will you? If you can't say anything good about your brother, then keep your mouth shut, please, brother. A brother came to me criticizing. I said, brother, please don't. You're talking to the wrong person. You'd better talk to him about it. And that's the way to solve them, isn't it? And here is a lovely atmosphere. There upon the pinnacle of Christian maturity. And not only there, but Zophim. That means the watchers. The watching thereunto with prayer.
and they're not allowing the enemy to come and encroach upon the mountain peak of the spiritual experience. My, that they've gained, they're going to keep it, and they're going to hold it. They're not going to take it for granted, brethren. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There's love. My. Tell you something else too, brother. There was gift. Have you noticed that? And he gave portions. There was gift. Do you want an assembly with gift, brother? You'll find that assembly there on the mountain peak of Ramathaim Zophim. You will. Oh, I tell you, you'll find them down there in the valley. But the gift won't do them any good. Eh? I'm referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 now. My, that they've gained, they're going to keep it, and they're going to hold it. They're not going to take it for granted, brethren. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There's love. My. Tell you something else too, brother. There was gift. Have you noticed that? And he gave portions. There was gift. Do you want an assembly with gift, brother? You'll find that assembly there on the mountain peak of Ramathaim Zophim. You will. Oh, I tell you, you'll find them down there in the valley. But the gift won't do them any good. Eh? I'm referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 now. They came behind in no spiritual gift, but because they were down there, it didn't do them that much good. There was division. There was immorality. There was heresy. There was carnality of every kind. And yet they came behind in no gift. But I tell you this, if you want the best out of gift, then you'll be living in the spiritual heights there, and you'll be watching thereunto with prayer, and you'll be taking nothing for granted, and you'll be dependent upon your God for your place and to keep you there. Lovely gift. And abundance. Will you notice something else, brother? There was strength there. Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? That's a lovely thing, isn't it? We were talking about 10 virgins. I'll speak for myself. I don't accept them as the church, brother. 10 is never the number of the church. 10 is the number of human responsibility in the face of divine command. That's 10. That's why you've got 10 commandments. Human responsibility in the face of divine command. And here he is. My, this lovely house, this lovely assembly. Their love completely permeates the whole of the atmosphere. And there is gift being exercised there. And they're being blessed and enriched, and they're being nourished by it. And here's a man with strength. Spiritual strength, and giving to God the claims that God has upon his life. My dear, we're not just talking about coming to a gospel meeting now, are we? We're not just talking about coming to a Bible reading or something like that. We're coming to something that God intends, the assembly that it ought to be, a spiritual place. Permeated with love, gift in exercise to profit and to wealth, and strength being manifested where God has his own way and his people walking in obedience to himself. Now there it is. Can you see the contrast, brother and sister? There's the other Ephrathite. That man has gone down to Moab, and he's got two sickly, pining sons with their unequal yoke. And that's where they die. And a poor woman comes back again and says, call me no more Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. Now, let's come into the reality. Because even into circumstances like this, things can happen that are going to hurt, brother and sister. And that's why we've always got to be on the watch. You must never take things for granted. Never. Never at any time. Constantly. Listen, brethren. I've said it before. Does the devil ever bother you? Does he now? Because if he doesn't, you'd better have a look in your own life. Perhaps he thinks you're not worth bothering about. Eh? But I tell you this, the more you're going to live for Christ, and the more you're going to serve Christ, then the more you become the target of the enemy of Christ. Am I right? Ah, dear, dear, dear. Look, there's Israel down there at Jerusalem. No, they never had any bother from Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian. None. But wait till Nehemiah comes. Wait till that man comes with authority from the throne. And the strength of the throne behind him, and the provision of the throne behind him, and he's going to build a wall and keep that man out where he ought to be. I tell you, then the trouble starts, doesn't it? And that's why they just wanted to get rid of Nehemiah. Come to the Valley of Ono. Get rid of him and it'll all revert to back where he was. My brother and sister, I tell you this. I'd rather be the target of the devil and please God than to just rest and sit in comfort and unconcern and let the devil just go by. But here's a lovely meeting, a lovely assembly. My God is worshipped. That's the first one. I didn't bring that out. He worshipped God there at Shiloh. Love and gift and strength, my, they were all there. But it says this, Hannah had no children. Can you imagine that, brother? Can you imagine that? An assembly in such a spiritual condition as that, and no children? Oh, I know lots of assemblies, they've just had prayer meetings, weeks of prayer meetings, and they've searched their hearts and wondered why they've had no blessing. They can't see anything wrong with the assembly, and yet there's a barrenness. Eh? And the mystery deepens. It says, for the Lord had shut up her womb. My, there's a mystery, isn't it? Fancy that. Living for God. Reaching a spiritual maturity. Watching to retain it. An atmosphere of love and gift and strength. And going up to Shiloh year by year to worship. My, you'd have thought there'd have been children, wouldn't you? That's why he took another wife. He was going to answer the problem in the house. And so Peninnah provided him with sons and daughters. There they are. But I tell you this, the love went out of the house, and sorrow and grief took its place. And that poor woman was vexed and provoked every time they went up to Shiloh to worship. Here it gone. Elkanah had got all the children he wanted, but the woman that he loved was grief-stricken and sad and vexed in her soul, and the woman that had come in just mocked her and provoked her. My brother, my sister, will you please remember this? There are conditions in a local assembly that you dare not touch, for if you touch them, you'll make the situation a lot worse than it is. And there are conditions that you must leave in the hands of God, and leave it there and pray about it. No, be careful, brethren. Now here a name means a pearl, a coral, some say a ruby. But I tell you, brother and sister, if you turn to the book of the Proverbs, it says this, that wisdom is to be desired above rubies. He was doing a spectacular thing. But my, wasn't a wise thing. Oh, if he'd have only known, if he'd have only known the consequences of that act that he'd done, if he'd have only known what God was going to do later on, my, if he only knew the issues away there in the first book of Chronicles chapter 6, if he'd have only known the mind of God, he'd have never brought Peninnah in. My brother and sister, don't bring your Peninnahs in, will you? Might be a fascinating thing, might be a lovely thing to look at, might be an attractive thing, my, it might bring souls in, my, you might get confessions by the dozen and by the score. But I tell you this, give me 1 Samuel and you can have all of Peninnah's children. 1 Samuel and you can have all of Peninnah's children. Will you have a look at that genealogy of Kohath away there in the first book of Chronicles? Elkanah, one of Peninnah's children, Samuel, have you got it? Peninnah's children were just living for the present, but Samuel was living for the future, and for God's glory, and for God's purpose. Give me one soul like that, and you can have all the others that have been brought in with the attractions, with all the sideshows, with all the fascinations. Give me one soul born like Samuel. Listen, brethren, I'm speaking out of experience. And I've led a number to the Lord. But I'm going to tell you this. The nearer a child is born to natural circumstances, I'm talking about natural birth, the nearer a child is born to natural circumstances, there's more hope for that life to continue. My brother, it's the same in a spiritual sense. Give me a soul upon whom the Spirit of God has been working, and as the gospel's been preached, there's an exercise of repentance toward God, a turning away from sin and a crying out, what must I do to be saved? Give me a soul like that, that knows the need of Christ. Give me a soul that's born again according to God's word, and you can have all the confessions of these great big exhibitions and the rest of it. You can have it. The Lord had shut up her womb, and he brings a fascinating thing in that would solve the problem. And the problem was made 1,000 times worse the one that he loved was brokenhearted. Let's come. You see, brother, not only was Peninnah gloating over Anna, just like Hagar gloated over Sarah, she could produce a child from Abram and Sarah couldn't. She was despised in the eyes of a servant, and that's Peninnah. She'd provoke her sore, she'd persecute her as an adversary. Not only that, but when she went up to Shiloh to worship, she stood there before the tabernacle, for it is the tabernacle, brother, though it's called the temple. Temple wasn't built till Solomon's time, was it? And there, as she prayed before the tabernacle, there was Eli sat down by one of the side posts at the first veil. And he saw a woman, and her lips were moving and not a sound. She's drunk. And that heartbroken woman is rebuked by a high priest that ought to have known better, ought to have asked a question before he came to a decision. He rebuked a poor woman in all her grief. No, she said, I'm not a daughter of Belial. Will you notice that? Will you notice that? I reckon that went home like an arrow to Eli's heart, because both his sons were sons of Belial. That's what he says. No, I'm not a daughter of Belial. Out of the sorrow of mine heart have I prayed. The Lord grant thy request. And Anna produced. As easy as that. Have you ever thought why? Ever thought why, brother? Oh, it's lovely and simple. Lovely and simple. You know what her name means, don't you? Her name means grace. Grace. Did you ever realize that grace can be barren? Eh? Grace barren. Grace is flowing like a river. Millions there have been supplied. Still it flows as fresh as ever from the Savior's wounded side. Brother, grace can be barren. Grace can only produce on one ground. By grace are ye saved. Well, why aren't they all saved then? Why aren't they all saved? Because grace can only produce upon one ground, and that's the ground of faith. By which also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Grace producing. Here she is. Do you see it? Eli the high priest has encouraged her heart. The Lord grant thy request that thou hast asked of him. And she lays hold of it. Lays hold of it. And from that time she stands on the ground of faith that God is going to answer her cry. And a child is born. Asked for of God. Eh? Have we got the clue, brother? Aren't there some lovely things here to consider? Some basic things that belong to the assembly? Some things that are so much lacking among many of God's people. Oh, if we were only just here, brethren. My, the assemblies would be still turning the world upside down. They would there. Now, brother. Now, sister. When Eli is going up, Hannah says, I'm not going with you. I'm not going with you until I've weaned the child. Isn't that lovely?
Isn't that what David says? My soul is as a weaned child. And there she nursed him. There she suckled him. And brother, I don't want to get crude or intimate, but please, they didn't put a child on the bottle in those days. No. I know this, that Isaac was 5 years old before he was weaned. And I know Deborah, the nurse of Rebecca, that word nurse is a suckler. And when the parent, the mother, became dry, then the child was given to a suckler. Have you got it? And that child became the responsibility of that one to feed with milk, until they were able to wean the child, Brother, there are still lots of Christians that are not weaned. Oh, I'm thinking about a couple. I know one has been taken home, perhaps his wife is home now. If I visited that home every Wednesday night, they'd be out at all the meetings. But if there was one Wednesday night that I couldn't go, they weren't weaned. They always had to be nursed. They always had to be carried. Eh? Listen, my brother. There came the time. My, I was going to say something wrong then. I better tell you what it was. I was going to say the time came when Hannah said to that little fellow, "It's not me anymore. You feed yourself." And she stuck a ham bone in his hand, as she never did, because they were Jews, weren't they? So it wouldn't be a ham bone. So I better put the thing right before you get out. But you see what I mean now? Now, you good ladies, with your children, hasn't there come the time when you've just cut a piece off the loaf and you've just laded it with butter and stuck it in the child's hand, and the child has got more round its mouth than in its mouth, but it's made an endeavour to feed itself, hasn't it? My, it rejoices my heart to see a young soul, my, get hold of this book. And the things they can get out of this book, my, they'd leave Derby standing, they would that. And a lot of these, my, they can get out of this book the things that are not in. You know, they get more round the mouth than they get in it. But I tell you this, they're making an effort to feed themselves. The ability to stand on their own feet, eh? On their own feet. And there came the time when the lad was weaned. And he was young, it says, he was young. I don't know, doesn't say how old he was. He was young. And his mother took him according to the vow that she'd made the Lord before he came. And she said to Eli, "I'm the woman that you saw praying, and this is the child I prayed for, and I'm lending him to the Lord as long as he lived." Brother, he wasn't only weaned from his mother's breast, but he was weaned from his father's house as well. Eh? An elder brother said to me on one occasion, he said, we had a brother come and ask for a letter of commendation. They were going on their holidays. And the elder brother said, "I don't know whether it's a letter that you want to go away with, or whether it'll be a letter that you'll need to come back with." Because there are a lot of Christians that forget the Christians sometimes, don't they?
they're not weaned, not weaned from the place where they know.
To be able to stand in a place where nobody knows you, and yet for them to know that you belong to Christ, eh? That's being weaned, brother. To be offered this and to be offered that, and to ask to go here or to go there, and to be able to take your stand when you're away from the company of God's people and you're on your own. To be able to say, I belong to Christ, redeemed by his blood, and I don't belong to this world anymore. Eh? That's what they were on the day of Pentecost, wasn't it? That's why they were scattered abroad there throughout the lands round about. They were weaned, brother and sister. Weaned. No, I could be critical just here. But I'm not going to be. I'm going to leave it with you. There are lots of things that we could be weaned from, aren't there now? That are accepted out in a world that rob the child of God of maturity in his Christian life. And that little fellow was left with the old man Eli. And I tell you, if you want to frighten a child, then leave him with an old man. I will that. Too many years in between. And especially an old man that he doesn't know. And there the little fellow was. And he was left with an old man that he'd never seen. And in a circumstance that he'd never known. And he saw his mother and he saw his father going back home, and they were leaving him there, and you never hear that he shed a tear, and you never hear that he ran after his mum and said, don't leave me, and you never read that he broke his heart and waited for the next year to come. He was weaned, brother. That's the man. What kind of an assembly is it, brother, that produces a man like that? What kind? An assembly there that you can't tell the difference between the assembly and a world? Or the assembly that is living there in spiritual heights in the knowledge of God's word and watching thereunto with prayer? And love is the atmosphere, and gift is the exercise, and strength is manifested, and they wait upon God for blessing. My, that's the sphere where you'll get your Samuels. Brother, sister, in the light of that, search your heart, as I've searched my own heart many a time, because we want children that can be weaned, children that can stand on their own feet, and children that are going to grow up to be men like Samuel, that could take the nation away out of its defeat and out of its chaos and prepare them for the king that is ready to come. There he is. Will you take it, brother? Will you take it, sister? I say it with all my heart, and please believe me, I'm not criticizing, because I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you. But I believe that's the foundation of recovery today.